Well, today's scripture reading comes from the New Testament, from Paul's second letter to the Christians in Corinth, Greece, where Paul declares that we become a new. So this reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 20. So then, from this point on, we won't recognize people by human standards, even though we used to know Christ by human standards. That isn't how we know him now. So then, if anyone is in Christ, that person is part of a new creation. The old things have gone away, and look, new things have arrived. All of these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ, by not counting people's sins against them. And he has trusted us with this message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors who represent Christ. God is negotiating with you through us. So we beg you, as Christ's representatives, be reconciled to God. Well, as I said, this weekend we'll have a special observance as part of our worship service that takes place in our sanctuary. Two young men are being confirmed. When they were very young, their parents presented them before the church to receive the sacrament of baptism. One of those baptisms occurred in this church, the other in an Episcopal church. But the place where they were baptized, or which denomination within the Christian church performed the baptism, that's not what's important. What's important is that they are baptized in the worldwide church of Jesus Christ. Wherever in the world they may go in their lives, vacationing across the country, studying abroad, going to college in another state, touring foreign countries, no matter where they may find themselves, by baptism, they are part of the worldwide body of Jesus Christ, wherever they are. As part of our congregation's confirmation process, for the past year, these young people have been mentored by mature, thoughtful adult members of this congregation. Together, they've studied the Bible. They've explored what it means to be engaged in the life and the outreach of a local church. They've deepened their prayer life. They've pondered how God has been at work in their lives to this point. They've grown more open to how God might work through them to soothe the world, to serve the vulnerable, and to shape society so that God's will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, if it sounds like these two confirmands have accomplished a lot and grown a lot in the past year, that's right. But the church's act of confirmation, it's also about what all of you have done. You see, when a child is baptized, it's not just the parents who make promises. You do too. When you witness a baptism, you make promises on behalf of all the members of this congregation. You make promises on behalf of all members of Presbyterian churches. Indeed, you make promises on behalf of the worldwide Christian church in all of its expressions: Lutheran, Catholic, Episcopal, Methodist, Presbyterian, Congregational, Baptist, and more. You speak on behalf of the worldwide church, accepting responsibility for these newcomers to the faith. There are three parts to the promises that the worldwide Christian church makes to those being baptized. You promise to tell them the story of Jesus, to guide them in following the example of Jesus, and you promise to ensure that they feel welcome in the church family. Now, how did you do that? I say that you did that by striving to fulfill the guidance of Scripture. Not simply telling them Bible stories, but trying your best to show them how to follow Jesus. Let me share some verses of Scripture that capture how you've done that. A little walk through the Bible. First, because Jesus said, "Where two or three come together in my name, I am there with them." You help them realize that even humble gatherings evoke a sense of the presence of Jesus. Or the book of Acts tells us, day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. So you showed them that faith in Jesus can shape every dimension of life. The New Testament's letter to the Hebrews says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." So you showed them that gathering with fellow Christians encourages us for our acts of worship and service. You also encourage them to show compassion for others, as we hear in Galatians. Help carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will obey the law of Christ. Also in Romans, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. And you've shown them that even when there's no specific thing we can do to assist or to comfort someone, we can follow the urging of the letter of James, which reminds us simply, pray for each other. You know, one of the realities of the Christian community that surprises those who are outside the community is that despite the diversity often found in churches, I mean, coming from different communities and backgrounds, different socioeconomic strata, having different perspectives on social and political issues and more, despite the many differences that we may manifest, we embrace this truth stated in Romans. We are one body in Christ, and individually members of each other. You also embodied these instructions from Romans. Live in harmony with each other. Now, remember, harmony doesn't consist of all the same note. That's not harmony. Harmony occurs when different notes work together. And you've been a living example of how we can embrace different viewpoints while coming together, because our love for Jesus Christ is more important than any differences. In John's Gospel, Jesus stated, "This is my commandment, love each other just as I have loved you." You've shown how we try to be like Jesus in loving not only relatives and friends, but also loving and accepting strangers and those we don't see eye to eye with. Another biblical truth that you've taught comes from the first letter of Peter, which urges, "And serve each other according to the gift each person has received, as good managers of God's diverse gifts." You've helped these young people see that though we don't all have the same skills and talents and resources and experience, that's not a deficit. That is a blessing. Indeed, you've shown how a spirit of generosity is rooted deep within us. As the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy says, "Give to those in need freely and unselfishly, and the Lord will bless you in everything you do." So you've embodied the guidance of Scripture by your character, your attitude, your words, and your actions. You may not have realized that you've been teaching. Well, it's what we do, you may think. But because of what you do, others want to be part of you. They choose to be with you. They commit their lives to following Jesus and showing his example because of you. For these two young men, their confirmation process is done, but for each of us, our work as ambassadors of Christ goes on. As they choose to join us in this lifelong calling, may we continue to embody the generous and unconditional love of Jesus. May we continue to show God's merciful forgiveness and gracious acceptance to a world so in need of healing. Because we have been claimed as followers of Jesus, it's what we do. Amen.